O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light, the hopes and fears of all thy years are met in thee tonight. Welcome to Bethlehem. Now settle in, for I have a story to tell. You won't find it in scripture, only in song, but the message rings loud as a bell. Underneath the starlit skies, in the town where Christ was born, is a quiet little restaurant where the price is right and the food is warm. You'll find Hannah and Jacob, mother and son. They run the old food joint with pride. But tonight, through some strangers, their lives will change. So why don't we head on inside?
Hey, Jacob.
Yeah?
Take this to John and Sarah, table 7.
May love and potatoes for you, John. And here's your salad, Sarah. Anything else, guys?
Nope. Thanks, Jake.
Oh, hey, Jake. Wait. Got a little something for you. Oh, there you go.
Seriously? Is that all you got, old timer?
Get out of here.
Dude, look at that ride. Those guys aren't from around here.
Yeah,
they can't be from around here. The thing is sweet. I'd love to take it for a spin.
That thing is sweet. You figure they got that up in Jerusalem, or?
No, man, that's definitely not local.
Hey, right here. The table.
Here? All right.
Hi. Hi. My name's Ben. Hi, my name's Jacob. Welcome to Bethlehem Music. Can I start you guys out with a drink?
Yeah, it's been a long trip, young man. I think I'm just going to do an ice water.
I'll have a sweet tea, please.
Water, thanks.
Be right out with that.
It's a long trip, I tell you what. Nice time in my desert, doesn't it?
That is one sweet ride, dude.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
You guys from out of town?
Yeah, we're from a few hundred miles east of here.
Where are you headed?
Here.
Wait, here? Why would you want to come here?
We're here to meet someone.
Yo, guys, come here. I'm totally about to beat this level.
You guys are in.
Come on. Yeah, nice.
Yes!
Here's your sweet tea.
Thank you much.
Here's your water.
Thank you.
Here's your water.
Thank you.
Got you guys something to eat?
what's good here? What do you recommend?
See that menu up there?
Yeah.
If it's on the menu, it's good.
You're confident, huh? Well, with that recommendation, I think I am going to do the... Let's go with the cheeseburger and fries.
Cheeseburger and fries. You?
I'll have the same.
Okay, you?
I'll have the soup and salad combo.
Okay, be right out with that.
I'm tired.
Oh, me too.
Hey, Mel.
Yeah?
You think we could just get a hotel for the night, crash, and just catch the king in the morning?
No, we didn't travel all this way across the desert following the star to wait till tomorrow to see him. We got to find him tonight.
I know. I'm just messing with you. I am tired, though.
You know, guys, in another couple hours, it'll be dark enough. The light from that star will take us right to him.
You know, I'll be interested to see how clearly it points us to him. I mean, it's one thing to see a star shining down on an entire town, but I wonder if it'll just take us straight to him.
It's going to take us right to him, I have no doubt, guys. We are this close to finding him.
I'm just thankful that star led us this little podunk town. It'd been like a needle in a haystack up in Jerusalem.
Hey, guys. Yeah. You couldn't help but overhear. You guys looking for somebody?
Yeah, we are.
All right, well, Sarah and I, we've lived here all our lives. We know everybody. We can help point you in the right direction.
Well, we're looking for the king.
The king? Well, you missed him a few miles back. He's back up in Jerusalem.
You mean Herod?
Yeah, Herod. That's the only king around here.
We already talked to him. Definitely not who we're looking for. Looking for the king of the prophecy.
The king of the prophecy. You mean that king?
Yeah, that king.
Oh, here comes our food.
Here's your soup and salad combo. Here's your cheeseburger and fries.
Thank you.
And here's your cheeseburger and fries.
Sounds good. Thank you.
You guys need anything else?
Yeah, I'll get top off some water. Give it a chance.
So, do you think he's real?
Talking about the king? Of course.
We sure didn't just drive 500 miles across the desert on a hunch.
No, we saw a star rose, and we've come to worship him.
Well, we've been hoping and waiting for centuries. You actually think he's coming now?
Come on, guys. You don't believe all those old stories, do you?
You don't?
No.
Well, aren't you guys Israelites? You're the people of the prophecy.
Yeah, I think it's all just old crazy guys from centuries ago with their heads in the clouds. Rome is the boss, and everybody knows it. Herod is just a puppet on their string.
But the prophecy says...
I don't care what that prophecy says. There isn't any king coming to save us. I mean, it's been over 700 years. Why would it come true now?
Because it hasn't come true yet doesn't mean it can't.
I just don't buy it.
Well, I can tell you this. We saw a star, just like the prophets foretold. And here we are in Bethlehem. And this is where the prophets foretold that he'd be born. We're going to find him.
Well, you guys have fun with that. I think you're probably wasting your time trying to find a king in this place. Let's go, guys.
Sorry about that. Those guys can be punks sometimes.
Oh, it's okay. We've seen worse.
You know, you guys seem to know your way around, and if you're waiting for the king as well, if you want to come along and worship him with us.
Look, I hope you find him. But I've got work to do tonight. We better be going.
Yeah. We'll be eating here again tomorrow night. So let us know if you find him.
Okay.
Nice people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's that soup over there?
Do you think the king is really here?
Oh, I know he is.
Yeah, we saw this star in the sky, and we knew the prophecy had come true, so we followed it, and it led us here.
But who is he?
He's the king who's going to save all his people. He's the one that your prophets have foretold about. Haven't you ever heard of him?
Well, yeah, I think. They talk about him every week in synagogue, but I never figured it would actually happen.
Trust me, little man. It's happening.
What should we do?
Well, we go to where he is.
And do what?
We worship him.
And we take him our gifts and show him how grateful we are that he's come.
Gifts? What kind of gifts?
Well, my friend, I brought gold.
I've never seen that much gold in my life.
Well, gold is beautiful, and it's valuable. And when you take a gift to a king, it should be beautiful.
Did you all bring gold?
No, I brought frankincense.
What's that?
It's a valuable gift. It's burned as an incense. You know, it has a very pleasing aroma. Fit for a king. You know, when you take a gift to a king, Jacob, it should be very pleasing.
Smells really good. What did you bring?
Well, I brought a powerful spice known as myrrh. It's used to anoint kings and is a reminder of the suffering that they'll endure.
What do you mean?
Well, being a king's a hard job. Requires you to serve others in a self-sacrificing way. There's much suffering required of a king. It's his job to serve his people and do what's best for them, even if they don't love him for it. So, when you bring a gift to a king, it should not only be beautiful and pleasing, it should also serve him, because he'll serve you, my dude.
That's really cool. I wish I could come see the king.
Well, you can, Jacob.
I can?
Sure, anybody can come.
Especially you.
But I don't got a gift. I can't go see the king without a gift.
Jacob, you must have something that you can take to the king.
I don't got anything. I'm not rich. I don't got any beautiful gold. I don't got any pleasing smelly stuff, or I don't got anything that could serve a king.
Jacob, let me ask you a question. What is the very best thing that you have?
I don't know. Can you guys come help me?
Yeah, sure. Let's go see what you got.
Hey, Mom. You're
back. It was an old, old prophecy. Over 750 years before, the prophet Michael, an Old Testament prophet, gazed across the centuries, and he made this prophecy. He said, "But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler of Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Small among the clans of Judah." That may rank as a classic understatement. Podunk may be a more descriptive word. In fact, Bethlehem is rarely mentioned in the Bible. It was a small, off-the-beaten-path village located about 5 miles south of Jerusalem. Its only real claim to fame was that it was the birthplace of a king by the name of David, the most famous Israelite king who ever lived. But David had been dead for over 1,000 years, and Israel hadn't been an independent nation for over 500 years. But this ruler that Micah foresaw would be fundamentally different. He would be no ordinary human ruler like David, whose reign actually lasted only about 40 years. No, this king's origins, Micah foresaw, would be from old, from ancient times. You see, this king would be ageless, timeless, eternal. The very heavens would declare his birth. His star would be seen by wise men from the east who would travel far to worship him. And when they arrived, they discovered, much to their surprise, that no one else was looking for this king. Some, like the young men at the restaurant, dismissed Micah's prophecy as the ravings of some long-dead lunatic. Some, like the couple at the next table, had simply lost hope. They wanted the prophecy to be true, but it had been 750 years. Could it still happen? Life goes on. We've got responsibilities, bills to pay, orders to fill, work to do. We're not looking for him anymore. But if you find him, let us know. Some, like Herod, back up the road in Jerusalem, didn't want this prophecy to be true. The coming of a ruler over Israel threatened his power and his control. And the truth is, when you think about it, in many ways, we today have those same thoughts about the Christmas that happened 2,000 years ago. Think about it. Some of us today look back on the story of a baby born in a manger 2,000 years ago, and we wonder, is it just a myth? Is it really only a fable? Is it some story that was concocted by some crazy guys with their heads in the clouds? I mean, are we really supposed to believe that God became a human being, born of a virgin, and whose birth was proclaimed by a star and a host of angels? Are we really supposed to believe that? And for some of us here this morning, the answer to that question is, I'm not sure I'm buying it. Some of us love the story. We desperately want it to be true. But somewhere along the way, we lost hope. It's been 2,000 years, and we stopped looking for him. Life happened. We got responsibilities, bills to pay, orders to fill, work to do, mouths to feed. If you find them, let me know. But I'm not looking, because I got stuff to do. And then, if we're brutally honest, some of us are a lot like King Herod. We'd never admit this publicly. We would never want anybody to know. But there's a dark place deep in our soul that doesn't want it to be true. Why? Because if a ruler did come, he's the king, not me. You see, he decides what's right and wrong if he's the ruler, not me. He decides how I should live my life. He's the ruler, not me. You see, that baby born in Bethlehem threatens my power. If he really came, then he should control my life, not me. But what if it's true? What if the story is actually true? What if the Christmas story isn't a myth or a fable? What if Micah's prophecy came true in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago? What if a virgin did give birth to the Son of God? That God became human, flesh and blood, just as you and I. If it's true, then why? Why would he do it? Why would God send his Son into the world? The Apostle John explained it this way. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You see, it was love that prompted Micah's prophecy. It was love that drove the coming of the King. Insert your name where it says the world. For God so loved Sue. For God so loved John. For God so loved Mary. For God so loved Jim. For God so loved Amy. Insert your name. Because God loved you so much that he sent his Son to come and die for our sins. And you think about it. God sent his Son even when, like the young men, we no longer believe. God sent his Son even when, like the couple, you know what? Life happened. And we lost hope. And God sent his Son regardless of the fact that we often battle him for control of our lives as if that's ever worked out well for us. And he didn't just come to be human like us, though he did. And so he understands our weaknesses and our temptations. He didn't just come to show us how to live, though he did, and he lived a perfect life and set the perfect example. And he didn't just come to show us God's compassion and his power, though he did, as he healed the sick, as he cast out demons, as he raised the dead. No, he came to do much more than that. He came to die for our sins. In fact, he said it this way: greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You see, this was his destiny, the ultimate act of love, to die for the sins of the world so that you and I could be made right with a holy and perfect God. You see, there is no Christmas without a cross. There is no virgin birth without a violent death. There is no star without a sacrifice. And there are no swaddling clothes without a burial shroud. But if it's true, how should I respond? If it's true, what are you and I to do? How do you and I respond to an act of love of this magnitude? The wise men said, "We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Worship him. That, friends, is the proper response. He gave himself for us. And when we worship him, we give him our very best. Our lives, our hopes, our dreams, our gifts, our talents, our time, our possessions, our praise. So what is the very best thing you have? What is it? Think about that question for just a moment. What is the very best thing that you have? Could you give it to Jesus as an act of worship? Something that is beautiful. Something that is pleasing. Something that serves him and others. The wise men gave gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It was the very best thing they had. But what will you and I give? What is the very best thing I have?
And so little Jacob took off to his room and to his big box
he ran to go through. He needed a gift to take to the king. Empty-handed won't work. But what could he bring? While hardworking and smart and of rather good stock, one thing is for sure, among the rich he was not. So item by item they looked through his box, even down to his teddy bear, toys, and some socks. But nothing was found he could take to his majesty. But the thought of not going struck him as a travesty. But then in the moment, his hopes seemed all gone. One wise man found something that bid him come on.
I don't got anything to take to the king.
You know, it's okay, Jacob. You can come with us anyway.
Yeah, you know, it's certainly preferable to have a gift when you go to see the king, but I'm sure it's going to be okay, Jacob.
I just wish I had something beautiful, pleasing, or something that could serve a king.
Hey, Jacob. What's that?
What do you mean?
This.
This is just my drum. I played in a school band.
Well, what about this?
It's just a drum. It's not all that pretty. It's not like it's gonna serve a king.
Well, can you play it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I see where you're going. Jacob, can you play that for us?
Yeah, I can. Here it goes.
Jacob, that is perfect.
Really?
Of course. Think about it.
Jacob, what do you call music when it's played well?
Beautiful?
Exactly.
And how do people feel when they hear beautiful music?
Good. I guess they might even smile.
Absolutely. And it's pleasing, right?
I guess so.
And don't you think a king would love to have beautiful music played for his arrival?
I bet he would.
That's right.
So, Jacob, how about you come with us, play your drum, and then your gift would be...
beautiful.
And pleasing.
And it would serve the king.
So that means I can go?
Of course you can go, Jacob. Let's go see where the star is pointing now.
Yeah, let's go.
So what is the very best thing that you have? What is it? Many of us look at that question, and like Jacob, we mistakenly believe that we have no gift to bring. Or if we have a gift, that it's not beautiful enough or pleasing enough, or that it won't serve the king. And it's true. Few of us will ever have a briefcase full of gold or rare incense or a priceless spice. But when you think about the fact that God so loved you and me that he sent his son into the world to die for our sins, then he sees us as beautiful as gold. He sees us as rare as extravagant incense. And he sees us as able to serve him as priceless spice. You see, friends, if you get nothing else out of this Christmas at all, I hope that you and I will grasp this truth, that God sees us as priceless. We are priceless in the eyes of God, but there's more. The Apostle Peter assures us that in addition to being priceless in the eyes of God, just as we are, he has given us a gift. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each of you has received a gift to use to serve others. Be good servants of God's various gifts of grace. Notice what he says there. Each of you. Every follower of Jesus Christ has received a gift to be used in his service. There are no exceptions. That means you are not an exception. If you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you have received a gift. It's a gift given to you by God. It belongs to him. That's why Peter says, be good servants of God's various gifts of grace, not yours. It's a gift from God. It belongs to him. But he's given it to you in order that you will serve others for him. And since the gift is his, it is by definition beautiful. How could it be otherwise when it's created by the author of creation itself? Like gold, it is of great value. It's pleasing. It pleases the king when we use our gift to his honor and glory. Like frankincense, it brings joy to the king. And it serves. When we use our gift, as Peter said, to serve others, we are serving Christ who gave his life for all mankind. And like myrrh, it's a reminder that service, true service, involves self-sacrifice. So what is the very best thing that you have and that I have? Each of us has been given a unique gift from God that we can bring. Like Jacob, each of us has our very own drum. You have a drum, and I have a drum. I don't know what your drum is, but I know you have one. And my hope and prayer for you this Christmas is that you will discover your drum and that you will begin to play it for all it's worth.
Drum in hand and nerves wound tight, they stepped out into the Bethlehem night. For all three wise men and their new little friend, this would mark a brand new beginning, one with no end. So they walked around by the light of that star till they came to the home. It wasn't that far. They held their breath and they asked, "May we enter?" And they knelt before him, their Lord and their Savior.